Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to bring in, just squeeze in one more. Sorry to cut you off. You made a very powerful point. Gwen Rees on your mobile.
Yes.
Just briefly, I'm afraid.
I agree with what the last two speakers have said. Again, I think when it comes to quotas, sadly, legislation will make the paradigm shift. Allowing companies to just get their buyers by their own means will mean that the enlightened will, of course, take women in, but some kind of mandatory quota, whether that is self-regulated through corporate governance or legislated for, is, I am afraid to say, the only way forward.
And that won't be, as Anne Widdecombe clearly very passionately felt, be to the detriment of women who will feel they haven't got there on merit.
Absolutely. There is no way that any woman would want to get there on without that merit, and I don't think there's any way that a chairman of a FTSE 100 company would risk probably his own reputation by taking somebody that was clearly not up to the job.
Or a chairwoman of such a company.
Or indeed a chairwoman, if we can find one, yes.
Well, we don't know whether it's going to happen. We know that the Prime Minister said he was interested, but then Downing Street said there was no plan to bring in quotas. But if David Lammy becomes Prime Minister, he's going to look at it very closely. He was on the programme looking at it very closely, and in the end would probably go for it if you could iron out some of the potential anomalies. Thank you very much, Gwen, for your call. Thanks for all. And I can just squeeze in this little bit of a email from Michael Ayrton. It's by what politicians speak against with real force and passion that their true priorities can be known. Anne Widdecombe fulminated with real venom against the idea of quotas for women. In her eyes, the scandalous, not to say ludicrous situation whereby only 1/8 of directors of FTSE 100 companies are female is very much lesser evil. But why? On what ground should we think this less appalling and insulting than the idea of quotas? All we've got time for this afternoon, for emails, phone calls, for tweets, thanks very much. Join us next week. In any questions, for now, very good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and was produced by Lisa Jenkinson. In a few moments' time, actor Robert Glenister stars in our Saturday play, Freud, The Case Histories. A father begs Freud to treat his daughter after discovering her intention to end her life. That's right after this.
Original British drama on BBC Radio 3.
This is your opportunity to take full responsibility.
A group of violent offenders is given a second chance. They must attend a course that addresses their behaviour. It's no soft option.
Say it, Gary.
I hit her. Okay?
It's the most confronting thing they've ever done.
I make one call and you go to jail. You've got 25 weeks to convince me to do otherwise.
A Man's World, drama on 3 with Siobhan Redmond, tomorrow night at 8:30 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 4, and now the first of two dramatisations of Sigmund Freud's most famous case histories. At the heart of the treatment of a troubled young woman is the analysis of sexual matters.
Freud, The Case Histories. Dora. Dramatised by Deborah Levy.
The lady who takes my classes for young women tells us there are 6 official languages in Austria, but I no longer want to speak at all. I've not spoken out loud for 3 weeks, and I try to avoid walking upstairs because of my limp. But now, because my father insists on it, I am taking the talking cure with Dr. Freud.
In the case history of the treatment of a hysterical girl that I relate now, connections, even obvious ones, will be generally fragmented, and the sequence of different events uncertain.
My life is unbearable.
What is wrong with her?
I don't believe our daughter is seriously threatening to. I am horrified, nevertheless.
Oh, please! When you eat soup, lift the spoon to your mouth without staining my tablecloth.
You give me nothing. Nothing. It's your fault our daughter is sick.
I am only here because my father insists on it.
Once again, she tells me she does not want to be here.
You know, you are free to leave any time you wish.
I note that when she walks into my consulting room, she has a strange limp.
There is only one thing I can do for you. I can listen while you talk freely. That is the basis of my method. You might find some relief in talking.
You give me nothing. Nothing.
My wife gives me nothing.
But you were smoking just like my father and Herr Kay.
I shall call my patient Dora. The year is 1899, the month October, the city, Vienna. Dora is 18 years old, with intelligent and agreeable facial features. Her symptoms include fainting spells, difficulty in breathing, coughing attacks, mood swings, a slight aversion to food and avoidance of social contact. A certain weariness with life. Before she came to me for treatment, her most irritating, painful symptom had been a complete loss of voice.
Papa?
Yes, it is me. I heard you coughing. I have brought you a glass of water.
I don't want water. I want you to stop seeing Frau Kay. I don't want you to see her anymore.
Keep your voice down.
Then I will. I will.
I cannot hear you. You will have to speak up.
I said my father is not to be trusted. I know he has spoken to you about me.
Yes. You are causing your parents grave concern.
I am grateful for your time, Professor.
This is my lunch break, Herr Bauer. I do not usually conduct a consultation in a park, but I am here to observe horses. You see the white horse pulling that fiacre? I am currently advising a father about his young son, who fears a white horse will come into his bedroom and bite him.
Please, I beg you to begin treatment with my daughter, despite her protests. She is clearly no longer happy, either with herself or with her family. And now she has threatened something. My wife found a letter in which she says, Professor, my daughter wants to end her life.
Come on, Owl. Move! Come on!
The motives for illness often begin when love-hungry children realize that all tenderness comes flowing back when their parents are made anxious by their illness.
As you know, I have been seriously unwell myself with tuberculosis and other ailments. This has been easier to bear because for some years now I have enjoyed a close friendship with a family who understand my situation. I will refer to this husband and wife as Herr and Frau K. Vienna is a small place, as you know, Professor. Dora has always been very fond of this family, and when we have stayed with them over the years, she has taken the greatest care of their two children.
What are her reasons for threatening suicide?
Professor, my daughter has accused Herr Kay of moral impertinence, of being so bold as to make an indecent proposal to her on one of their walks together.
And what did the accused man have to say about your daughter's allegations?
I sternly confronted him, as any father would. He has denied any such move on his part. I suspect my daughter, who was 16 at the time and in the first bloom of youth, is sexually precocious. This incident, which she says is the cause of her wish to end her life, is the fantasy of a young girl who read the wrong books at too early an age. Professor Freud, I beg you to help my daughter.
To help your daughter do what, Herr Bauer?
Well, to see reason.
Your father also suffers from a lung condition.
Yes.
Although you say you no longer trust him, your cough is perhaps a way of expressing concern and sympathy for your father.
It it's just a cough.
But in a way, do you think it also announces something to the world you might be unaware of? I am Papa's daughter. I have catarrh just as he does.
My father thinks only of his own satisfaction and has a talent for organising things in the way that best suits him.
I see. The success of the cure relies on you saying whatever comes into your mind.
How did they find my letter in the first place? I put it between the pages of my dictionary and locked it in my desk.
I am thinking you wanted them to find it. Do you study the dictionary?
Yes.
It was your mother who found the letter. Do you get on with her?
She suffers from pains in her lower abdomen.
You give me nothing. Nothing.
My wife gives me nothing.
I know the nature of my father's illness.
How do you know this?
I overheard my aunt say he had syphilis before he met my mother.
I see. So, your cough announces I have catarrh just as Papa does. He made me ill just as he made Mama ill.
No!
Yes, is not the catarrh a disgusting discharge just like that of Papa?
No! I have asthma!
She crosses her arms across her chest, as if to confirm her diagnosis. And her face has broken out in a light sweat. In fact, her cheeks are flushed as if she has just been slapped in the face. It is impossible to avoid touching upon sexual themes before undertaking a treatment of hysteria. You cannot make an omelette without breaking eggs. If one is relatively careful, one is simply translating into consciousness what is already known in the unconscious.
I can't bear my mother. She prefers my brother and has no understanding of me.
Do not sit on that chair. It has just been polished.
Let my daughter sit down and read her book.
Not until she has washed her hands.
You are so obsessed with germs, you should have been a doctor. Bacteria is your inspiration.
A doctor? What are you talking about? I am doing my best to look after my family and keep my home clean. Why don't you help me with the household duties instead of going to public lectures all the time?
Young women, we know that for Louis Pasteur, bacteria was his inspiration and became his subject of study. Why was this? Yes, Dora?
Because three of his children died of typhoid, Madame Petrova.
Yes. Personal tragedy was his motivation to cure disease. Louis Pasteur demonstrated that with education, we can all become productive members of society. Young ladies, if you work hard and try not to be too nervous, when you enter public life, you will no longer have to give your idle hand to an unloved suitor in order to gain material security. Yes, your hand is not idle, Agnes. You are waving it mysteriously in the air. Is that a question, or are you training to be a magician?
I would rather marry than be a spinster, Madame Petrova.
Oh, Agnes. Mothers who train their daughters to acquire a husband and nothing else in life might as well enroll them in a brothel.
Instead of reading your book on the chair I've just polished, why don't you arrange the flowers Herr Kay has so kindly sent you today?
Herr Kay sent me flowers?
Yes, he is very fond of you.
My father has his own reasons for not seeing any harm in my being left alone with Herr Kay.
And what are his reasons? I can't hear you.
He's having an affair with Frau Kay. I'm not supposed to know, but of course I do, and so does my mother. It's been going on for years. I can think of nothing else.
Have you confronted your father about this?
It is not your place to tell me who my friends should or should not be. You know very well that Frau K nursed me while I was sick. She herself has suffered badly from her nerves, and I am her sole support. We are two poor human beings comforting one another as best we can with friendship and sympathy. I will do nothing to hurt my friendship with Frau K.
Then I might as well die.
So, when your father refused to do what you demanded of him, you fainted. And then you wrote a suicide note.
My father is lying about Frau K. I can't forgive him.
It is as if you feel like a jealous wife. This would be understandable if your mother was acting in the same way. But your behavior clearly goes beyond a daughter's interest.
I can no longer trust my own father. I can't think of anything else.
It is as if with your threat of suicide, which you allowed your parents to glimpse, you were clearly putting yourself in your mother's position. And what you were saying was, either her or me.
I don't understand.
You were telling your father in that threat that he must choose between Frau K and his daughter.
But up to now, I've always got on very well with Frau K. She has always confided in me. I know all about the problems in her marriage. She pretends to be ill when Herr K comes back from travelling, but I know she is perfectly well.
All the same, perhaps you are jealous of her because your father has given to her the love you feel is due to you.
It is too dark in this room. Could you please open a window?
There is no doubt that you are using your illness with a purpose in mind. So far, you have not achieved this through pleading and arguments. Perhaps you wish to achieve this by frightening your father by threatening suicide, or arousing his sympathy by fainting. I am quite convinced that you will immediately become well if your father declares he will sacrifice Frau K for the sake of your health. I hope he will not allow this to happen, because then you will learn the power of using sickness to get your own way.
I asked you to open a window. I cannot trust you, and I cannot trust my father.
But for the time being, you have stopped coughing. What are the motives of her father, who has brought his daughter to take the cure with me? Is it true that Herr K made an indecent proposal to my patient, and this caused her to threaten suicide? Apparently, this man sends her postcards when he travels. When I asked her how long he goes away for, she said between 3 to 6 weeks. Earlier, she told me that the length of her coughing attacks lasted between 3 and 6 weeks. It occurs to me that when this man, who apparently disgusts her, is away, she loses her voice. Why is that? Does it lose its value because she cannot speak to him?
November 1899. When I walk on our Ringstrasse, the wind sweeps into my eyes, and I often find I am crying, but no one can hear me. I am nothing. Nothing. But when I die, I will be something. I think I met Dr. Freud's little daughter on the way out of his consulting room. She was 4 and her mother was offering her an apple. The girl was saying, "No, it's sour," and her mother said, "How do you know if you haven't tried it?" Yesterday my mother taught me how to mash butter into potatoes with the silver fork she was given as a wedding present. I told her I never want to get married, and she said, "How do you know if you haven't tried it?"
You say that Frau and Herr K. often talked of divorce.
Yes. But Herr K. will never agree to a divorce because then he'll be separated from his children.
Ah. And you used to babysit for his children.
I grew very fond of them. The little girl, Clara, gets sick sometimes. She has migraine headaches, as I do.
So would I be right in thinking that you won Herr K.'s attention above all through your maternal treatment of his children?
I don't know. It was Frau K. who wrote to say the children were missing me.
Dear Dora, we will be staying for the summer in a house by the beautiful lakes in the alpine town of Murano. The children are missing you, and so am I. If you want, you can come.
I don't know what I want.
If you want, you can come.
Everyone wants me to know, but I don't.
If you want,
I don't know.
You can come.
When I went to the house by the lake, it was such relief to be away from my own mother. Frau K. always slept with the window open so she could hear the birds. I'm so pleased to be away from Vienna.
And I am always so pleased to see you, and so are the children. Your father and I are going to choose a bracelet for your mama in town tomorrow.
Oh. She would prefer earrings.
I will make sure I tell your father that, and I'm sure he will be very generous. I've been missing you. There is so much to talk about. Did you know that Darwin thought it was the most odoriferous males that are most successful in winning the females? This is Mantegazza's book. We will read it together. He is an Italian anthropologist who travelled to South America, and he was very fond of the cocoa leaf. It's all in here for us to discuss. Harem life, monogamy, polygamy. Read this page.
I have never been among those who place fig leaves on Greek statues.
Mantegazza insists that love is a joy meant for two, and that to suppress our pleasure in the act is cruel and barbarous.
Please clarify this for me. You were 16 at the time.
Yes. For some years now, my father has used the excuse of his illness to go off to the lakes to see Frau K. And when I was 16, I went with him. Where will I sleep?
Frau K. has kindly offered to share her room with you.
So Herr K. will move into another room?
I suppose so. He has kindly offered to take you on a boat trip across the lake.
Perhaps the idea of a boat trip with Herr K., a man of apparently handsome and appealing looks, would be attractive to a curious 16-year-old girl.
Perhaps.
Ah, the water in this lake is so pure and clean you could drink it. When we get off the boat, you must choose a path so we can take a leisurely walk.
I can't walk too far because of my asthma.
My wife is very attentive to your father's poor health. Why is it that your mother has always stayed away from his sick bed and does not nurse him herself?
He knows full well that Papa always arranges matters so that he's regularly alone with Frau K. I don't know.
Did you receive the flowers I sent to Vienna?
Yes.
And my postcards?
Yes.
You've been so very kind to my children. My wife shows little interest in them, and she's not exactly attentive to me. As you know, we have sometimes talked of divorce.
Oh.
Come, we are there. You will need to lift up your skirt when we disembark. We can sit on the shore of the lake over there to to the left, where we will not be disturbed by holidaymakers. The high mountains will protect us from the wind. No, you are young, but surely not so young you do not yet know your left from right.
I want to sit here.
Then so shall I. The sun in your eyes?
No.
I'm going to roll myself a cigarette. Would you like one?
Well, I do smoke sometimes with my friends after lectures.
Do you mean male friends?
No. My lectures are for young women.
Here, take the cigarette. Well, I can't light it for you unless you lean towards me. That's better. Oh, there's a breeze blowing. Lean closer. Dora, you will be aware that I have taken every opportunity to spend all my free time in your company. And when I am not in your company, you are constantly on my mind. You must know by now that I am in love with you, and I get nothing.
Leave me alone!
Was that slap on his face a definite no on your part? It would seem to me that Herr K's declaration of love was far from brash or repellent.
Oh, he disgusts me.
Yet she doesn't look disgusted. Her eyes are closed and she is moving her toes. How long did you wait before you told your father about the incident?
I did not tell my father. I waited 14 days and then I eventually told my mother. I don't know why I waited for so long.
But you did tell your mother. Despite her housework psychosis.
She only cares about me when I'm anxious. Stop polishing the doors. Put down the cloth. What's wrong with you? Herr K is pestering me.
Herr K has been indecent to you?
Yes.
I shall tell your father to speak to him immediately. Let him hear what Herr K has to say about your holiday in the lakes.
But you know very well my father is not to be trusted.
Every time you speak, you have something ugly to say.
Indecent? No, not indecent, I assure you. I would never have been indecent to your daughter in any way. This is a totally false accusation, and your daughter knows it. It's the imagination of a girl who has read the wrong books at too young an age.
The wrong books? It's true that she is knowledgeable beyond her years.
My wife tells me that Dora read a certain book on sexual matters when she stayed with us in the lakes. And now I'm very concerned that it is I who stand accused of something preposterous and untrue.
I know you have always been extremely kind to my daughter.
And you have always been extremely kind to my wife.
How would Herr K know what you were reading?
She told him.
So, Frau K betrayed you?
Nothing, but nothing makes me so furious as when people accuse me of imagining it all. It is my father who has betrayed me. I am angrier with him than I am with Herr K himself.
You are right to reproach your father. It seems to me that your story entirely responds to the truth.
How could he be selfish enough to agree that I would imagine such things?
When your father confronted Herr K, he avoided drawing a conclusion that was unfavorable to his own desires.
You are the only person who has ever believed me.
It seems clear that your father abandoned a growing girl to a stranger in the interest of his own love affair.
And when the hour is up, I will have to return to him.
A false accusation is a lasting insult.
Yes, it is. It is. It is.
All the same, I think we need an explanation for why you felt so gravely insulted by Herr K's declaration of love.
What else would I feel?
That's for you to tell me. Try not to criticize the feelings and thoughts as they come to you. It is not wrong to have two conflicting feelings at the same time.
Why do you ask me this question? I'm not sure you're being quite honest with me, since my father always opts for secrecy in a roundabout way. Herr K, discuss me.
After you had understood Herr K, you did not allow him to have his say. You slapped his face and ran off.
There is something else.
There is always something else. If it is correct to say that the cause of hysterical illness is to be located in the intimacies of the patient's psychosexual life, and that hysterical symptoms are the expression of her most secret repressed desires, my patient will inevitably reveal those intimacies and betray those secrets.
On the afternoon after our trip on the lake, when I lay down in the bedroom I shared with Frau K and fell asleep, I suddenly woke up and saw Herr K standing in front of me. What are you doing?
No one can stop me from coming into my own bedroom whenever I feel like it. And anyway, I want to get something.
Where's my father?
Probably out walking in the forest with my wife.
I told my father I was not going to stay in the house by the lake without him. I made him take me home when he left. Nothing he has done so far makes me as angry as saying I imagined it all.
So I must ask you something else. But first, I must relight my cigar. What is your own part in the situation you are complaining of? If your father has turned a blind eye to Herr K's behavior towards you, you have done exactly the same thing. In previous years, you encouraged your father's relationship with Frau K. You looked after her children as if you were their mother. And you took sides with Frau K against your own mother.
What does my mother mean to my father? Or Frau K mean to my father? And why should I be something if I don't want to be?
I note she is playing with her purse, opening and closing it with her fingertips.
If Frau K loves my father, what is it he loves in her? Is there something a woman has to be for a man? I would like to have soft, pale skin like she does.
Our patient is silent, but she is chattering with her fingers. She is consciously and deliberately holding back a part of something that is very well known to her. Something that she knows she should tell. You are sitting up as if you have remembered something.
The fair has come to the park. I'd like to go on the new giant Ferris wheel, but I might get dizzy and fall.
Hello, Dora.
Madame Petrova.
Are you at the fair alone?
No. My brother is on the big wheel.
Oh. You've been absent from my class recently.
Yes, I've been unwell. With my asthma.
If you have a weak chest, you must be sure not to wear the bone-crushing corset. And there are sometimes occasions, do you agree, when a young woman finds she needs to move swiftly.
Yes. I'm taking the cure with Dr. Freud. I see him every day. That's why I'm not in your class.
I see.
He has told me to be interested in my own perceptions, to pay attention to what comes into my mind.
Well, that is a very good thing.
Do you think so?
Yes, I do. I often find it very difficult to pay attention to what comes into my mind. And unlike you, I have a very fine mind.
It's true, I'm not that clever.
Oh, you see, that was a trick. That's what all my girls say. I insult them, as I have just insulted you. And because they are shy and modest, they say, yes, it's true, I'm not that clever. Now, the girls in Odessa don't say that.
What do they say?
Well, they don't so much speak as write a pamphlet.
Oh, I write a diary.
And what sort of things do you write?
Nothing important. Every day now, since I was 14, I have a feeling of something pressing down on my chest. I find myself nervous when men and women talk to each other in a lively way. And since my illness, I have stopped wearing jewellery. I'm making myself into something. Because I am nothing. No one listens to me until... And then I am something.
You said there was a fire.
Yes, in my dream, a house is on fire. My father is standing by my bed.
Dora! 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 Wake up, Dora! The house is on fire!
I must get dressed quickly!
Wait! I need to take my jewelry box first!
No, no, hurry! I refuse to let myself and my children burn to death for the sake of your jewelry box.
I need to rescue my jewelry box.
No! Run! Run down the stairs!
We run down the stairs, and as soon as I'm outside, I wake up.
Can you break down the dream for me and tell me what comes to mind?
I told you that on the afternoon after our trip on the lake, when I lay down to sleep in the bedroom, I suddenly woke up and saw Herr K standing in front of me. I had wanted to lock the door, and in the morning I was nervous he would surprise me while I was getting dressed.
Should the phrase, I dressed quickly, be placed in that context?
Yes.
In your dream, you replace Herr K standing by your bed with your father standing by your bed. You want Papa to protect you like he did when you were a child. If something happens in the night, it will be his fault.
Yes. If something happens in the night, it will be his fault.
So, in your dream, you decide to flee with your father. In reality, you wish to flee to your father for fear of the man who is propositioning you.
My father has betrayed me.
You tell yourself, I have no peace. I can't sleep peacefully until I've left this house.
That's because I felt uneasy about being alone with Herr K in the house by the lake.
Good. We still have a large part of the dream to interpret. What about the jewelry box that Mama wants to save? So far, you've said nothing about the box.
Herr K gave me a valuable jewelry box as a present some time before.
You may not know that a jewelry box is a popular expression used to refer or allude to the female genitals.
I knew you'd say that.
That means you knew. Mama wants to save the jewelry box so it does not burn. The meaning of the dream now becomes clearer. You say to yourself, this man is pursuing me. He wants to get into my room. He's threatening my jewelry box. And if something awful happens, it will be Papa's fault.
Yes.
For that reason, you brought into the dream a situation that expresses a danger from which Papa is saving you. But what is the danger from which Papa is saving you?
It's obvious.
There is no smoke without fire. Herr K gave you a jewelry box in order that you should give him your jewelry box. The dream once again confirms another sort of danger.
What sort of danger?
You are afraid of Herr K. But you are more afraid of your temptation to yield to him.
Is a woman supposed to yield to a man because he wants her? What is a woman supposed to be? Do I want to yield to Herr K?
Sometimes the things we want, our desires, are in conflict with each other. And our dreams tell us this is the case. We can feel sexual desire and we can feel disgust at the same time.
When the hour is up, I'm not going to return to Dr. Freud. No. I will wait until after the new year, and then I will tell him it's all over. I forgot to mention that when I wake up from this dream, I always smell smoke.
I see. This suggests a transference to myself, since I am a smoker. It has probably occurred to her that she desires a kiss from me. I'm actually starting to sense that she took matters with Herr K. much more seriously than she previously wished to reveal.
And now I must go home to help Mama with her chores. Mama, I have folded the linen.
Thank you.
Dora, can you bring me the brandy? I can't get to sleep without it.
Mama, can I have the key to the larder? I need the key to the larder to get Papa his brandy.
My father looks tired today and his face is twitching in a very strange way. He looks as sick as when he had tuberculosis. Last night I dreamt that he died. If he did really die, my mother would have to call the rabbi and my brother will weep as he washes Papa's body. And Mama and I will pick up a handful of earth and cover the coffin.
Here. Take the key. Always so attentive to your father's needs. Try to walk properly and not drag your foot. Do you remember how much you loved to go to your dancing lessons when you were 13? You didn't limp then.
There is something else I have to tell you.
Yes? The patient never gives an ordered depiction of her life history. I like to light a cigar when there is something else. Sometimes out of fear.
It was near my 14th birthday, and Herr K. had arranged that I should come to their shop in the main square to choose a pair of gloves for my present. And then he said we would all watch a church procession from the building. I made my way through the crowd. But when I entered the shop, I discovered Herr K. was alone.
Dora, come in. I'm just closing the shop.
Where is your assistant?
I have given her the afternoon off so she can watch the procession.
Is Frau K here?
She was tired and decided to stay at home with the children. Wait there while I lower the shutters.
It's too dark in here. Shall I wait for you outside?
No, wait. I'm coming now.
I can't see you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my lieber Dora.
He's off me! He suddenly grabbed me in the dark and pressed himself against me. And he kissed me. I couldn't breathe, and I pulled away from him, but he wouldn't let me go. But then I managed to get away, and I ran out into the square.
Please! Please let me through!
Did you tell anyone about what happened in the shop?
No. He told me not to tell anyone at all. You are the first person I've ever told. I can still feel the pressure of his embrace pushing hard on my chest. It was difficult to eat for weeks afterwards.
May I ask a delicate question? I understand you were 14 when Herr K. pressed a kiss on your lips. This is a young age. But at the time, did you know anything about the physical signs of excitement in the male body?
Now, yes. But then, no. When he tried to kiss me, I don't think so.
But you know now?
Yes.
And there was not, perhaps, just a little excitement at the attempted kiss?
No. I was repelled by him. Why would I be excited? He held me so tightly to him. I can still feel it. I can feel him pushing on my chest. Afterwards, I could not walk past a man talking in a lively way with a woman. I still avoid such situations.
I need to ask you something else. Do you think it is possible that during that passionate embrace, you felt not only the kiss on your lips, but also the pushing of his member against your body?
I don't remember.
I'm thinking that you replace the memory of this pushing of the male genitals against your body with something more harmless, more manageable. You feel it now as a pressure on your chest, on your upper body. And you feel this so intensely it makes you breathless. You cannot walk past a man or a woman when they are in animated conversation or what you might think is a state of sexual excitement because you do not want to see the physical sign of that state again.
I don't know.
Her face is twitching on the left side. A twitch is a wish, an expression of an unconscious desire.
I dreamt my father died. I was wandering around a city I'd never visited before. My mother sent me a letter to say she was at the cemetery.
So in your dream, it seems you have left home. That is very hopeful. And if your father is dead, you have had your revenge. We have come to the end of December, and I am now smoking my 12th cigar of the day. I have to confess that I regard smoking as one of the greatest and cheapest enjoyments in life, which is just as well, because I have to confess there are times when I find my patient unbearable. Earlier, she told me that 9 months after Herr K's declaration of love by the lake, she had looked up the word appendicitis in the dictionary. And then she felt the same pain in her abdomen that she had read about in the dictionary. This is a genuinely hysterical symptom, one of her many hysterical accomplishments. But what about her limp? After she had recovered from what she called her appendicitis, why did she drag her foot?
In the dream about my father dying, I'm not the slightest bit sad. I go to my room and peacefully read a big book on my desk.
You are peacefully reading a big book. Was the book then in dictionary format?
Yes.
Children never look up forbidden material in a dictionary peacefully. They tremble and quake and look anxiously around to see if anyone is coming. Parents are very much in the way where such reading is concerned. So, if your father is dead, you may read whatever you wish. You told me that in your dream, you were wandering alone in a strange town.
It might have been Dresden. I went to a gallery there once. There was a painting I looked at for about 2 hours.
What had you liked so much about the painting?
I don't know. I liked the Madonna.
I see. It occurs to me that the Madonna is yourself.
Why would it be?
The Madonna you so admired was a virgin and she had a child. As I have said before, you attracted Herr K's attention above all through your maternal treatment of his children. I would like us now to go back to the incident with Herr K by the lake.
It was Frau K who asked me to look after the children.
What were the exact words he used?
He said, "You must know by now that I am in love with you. And something else."
Dora, you will be aware that I have taken every opportunity to spend all my free time in your company. And when I am not in your company, you are constantly on my mind. You must know by now that I am in love with you. And I get nothing from my wife.
Leave me alone!
You must know by now that I am in love with you and I get nothing from my wife. So that was an affront to your self-esteem?
I will say nothing. Nothing at all.
I am thinking about your limp. When we drag our feet, isn't that how we walk when we put a foot wrong? If you got appendicitis 9 months after he declared his love for you, this could have realized a fantasy of childbirth. Perhaps you longed for a child. You certainly would have put a foot wrong if you were giving birth 9 months after Herr K's declaration of love.
I don't understand.
It is possible that in your unconscious you regret the outcome of the scene by the lake.
What do I regret?
It seems to me you have been passionately in love with Herr K.
In love with him? No! I have been used! My father has made an agreement with Herr K. He has more or less said, in return for you tolerating my affair with your wife, why don't you have my daughter? As if I am something to be bartered with! My father is a factory owner, and now he has traded me too! I've been handed over to Herr K like a prize. Let me have your wife and I'll give you my daughter!
All the same, I have come to believe that what you have been repressing is your temptation to appear willing to Herr K. You are filled with regret at having repelled his proposal, and you have longed for little signs of his affection. Like all of us, you have agreed for love.
No! Herr K and my father have made a formal pact in which I have been used! Used! I have been used! They made my life unbearable! You do know this is the last time I'll be coming here.
I don't know, because you have never said anything to me about it. You know you are free to leave at any time, but let us work today. When did you reach this decision?
I think it was 14 days ago.
You sound like a maid or a governess giving me 14 days notice.
There was a young girl acting as governess to the Kay's children when I visited them by the lake.
Please tell me about it.
She told me that when Frau K was away for several weeks, Herr K approached her and asked her to be nice to him. He said he got nothing from his wife.
Now I know the reason behind the slap with which you responded to his advances.
Yes.
It wasn't hurt at his impertinence to you, but jealous revenge. The moment Herr K used the words, "I get nothing from my wife," which he also used to the girl, you said to yourself, "So he dares to treat me like a servant." You understood the poor girl very well. She gave him 14 days' notice because she hoped that in the meanwhile, Herr K would return his affections to her. So that must have been your motive for telling your mother about the incident by the lake 14 days later, to give him time to repeat his advances. And from that, you would have concluded he was serious. He didn't mean to play with you as he had with the governess.
And now you dismiss me like a maid. Your rejection must have seemed incomprehensible to Herr K, because he must have deduced from little signs that he could be sure of your affection.
Oh.
Might you not have thought that he wanted to divorce his wife to marry you? 2 years ago, of course, you were very young.
Yes. I can see snow falling on the tree in the courtyard. I should have come out in a warmer coat. When the weather is better, I will confront Herr K face to face. And I will not give up until he tells my father he does the sort of things that makes a girl have to move swiftly.
Your papa's relationship with Frau K offered you the certainty that his wife might agree to a divorce.
She might have, yes.
Your mother was engaged at a young age and then waited a further 2 years for her husband. The story of the mother's love usually becomes a model for the daughter.
Will I be like my mother or like Frau K?
Do not sit on the chair. It has just been polished.
Did you know that Darwin thought it was the most odoriferous males that are most successful in winning the females? What about my brother? Does he want to be like my father or like Herr K?
You give me nothing. Nothing.
My wife gives me nothing.
I'm sorry, could you repeat what you last said?
I said, the story of the mother's love usually becomes a model for the daughter.
Oh. Thank you, Professor. I wish you and your family a happy holiday and all good things for the new year.
She had been listening, without contradicting as she usually did, and never came back. By leaving in this way, she avenged herself on me, just as she wanted to avenge herself on Herr K and her father. Here I can only offer the fragment of an analysis. The duration of the treatment was not longer than 3 months, and the treatment was interrupted at the wishes of the patient. In her second dream, with its theme of revenge, I could see Dora breaking away from her father. I should have seen that she wished to break away from me, too. I hope that ill health will not remain her most successful weapon for enticing the love she feels she deserves, and that life will win her back.
I walked out of Freud's consulting room at 19 Vergasse on New Year's Eve into the snow of December in Vienna. Tomorrow will be the first day of the 20th century. The lady who takes my evening class for young women tells us our gas lanterns will eventually be replaced by electric ones. On the way home, I'll stop and stare into the window of the cafe on the corner. It's always warm from the steam of the new coffee grinders. I would like to walk in as my brother does, to sit at a table and order a cake. And I would like to watch the men in their greatcoats lined with fur, playing cards. But I would not feel at ease on my own. In a few years' time, my brother will go to university. He says he wants to study politics. But how am I going to get away from my family?
Happy New Year, Fräulein Bauer!
Happy New Year to you!
Ache. A continuous or prolonged dull pain. Acknowledge. To admit the truth. Amnesia, a total loss of memory. Amorous, showing feeling or inclined to sexual love. Anxiety, the state of being anxious.
In Dora, Freud was played by Robert Glenister, Dora by Olivia Hallinan, Papa by Gerard McDermott, Mama by Tracy Ann Oberman, Herr K by Alan Raglan, Frau K by Susie Riddell, and Madame Petrova by Tracy Wiles. Dora was translated by Sean Whiteside, dramatised by Deborah Levy, and directed by Elizabeth Allard.
The Wolfman, the second of our dramatisations of Sigmund Freud's famous case studies, can be heard at the same time next week. And at 9 o'clock on Monday evening, Material World will be discussing Freud and his legacy. Soul Music will be taking the Gresford Miners hymn as its focus in a minute. That's after Jane Garvey's given us a look ahead to what's coming up in half an hour.
On Weekend Woman's Hour today at 4 o'clock, public health campaigns. Do men get a raw deal?
We as men have not been great at talking about this stuff, and we're particularly bad about talking about it when it's something like prostate cancer, that the side effects are below the belt, their sexual function, their incontinence. So you put all those factors together and we've got a heck of a long way to go.
Weekend Woman's Hour, this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
And of course that's here on BBC Radio 4, where now it's time for Soul Music. This week's programme is about the Gresford Miners Hymn, long associated with the famous Durham Miners Gala and now performed on the West End stage as part of the play The Pitmen Painters. It was originally written by a former miner to commemorate a pit disaster.
My name is Albert Rowlands, born 20th of the 8th, 1920, near Wrexham. My father was a miner working down Gresford Colliery regular nights. And in July, we broke up at school for the summer holidays, and he just said to me, well, it's pointless you going back because you'll only be back for a short time and you'll be finished, because at 14 we finished school those days. And he just said to me, you're starting work at Gresford in the lamp room. No way going down the mine, not at that age. Just simply cleaning the lamps, preparing them to be used again, filling.